The instructions for the Mass say that a brief homily should follow the reading of the Passion, because the imagery is so vivid in this recounting of this central mystery of our faith. The words speak for themselves. And once again, as we are brought into this scene, as we hear step by step, scene by scene, what's taking place in the life of Jesus, we're drawn into the reality. We're drawn into this mystery of the passion and death of Jesus, the mystery and through which we have life. And it's necessary for us to hear this. It's necessary for us to realize, to understand, to have vividly portrayed before us the depths of God's love and what God's love looks like. The word love is so easily distorted in our world, we need this vivid reminder. For it was love that brought God into the world at Christmas, and it was love that brought God to the cross. Love for each one of us, for you. God's love for you did this when we hear in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. This is what he means. And so we need this vivid depiction. In this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, where we know the story, how when Jesus was coming into the city on this day, this 10th day of the month, that they were shouting out, Hosanna, and they were laying down palm branches and laying down their cloaks on the ground as he rode the donkey into town. And then a few days later, those very same people who have been yelling Hosanna, praise to Almighty God and King, now they're yelling, crucify him. Crucify him. Like you, I've heard many, many homilies and sermons in my life. Most of them I've forgotten. I understand. That's how these things work. But one that stands out to me is from seminary, and it wasn't on this day, and it was a different gospel, but the priest was preaching to us about the fickle vicissitudes of the human heart. How we're fickle. We're unwilling, unable to make a firm decision. We bounce from one thing to the next, and the vicissitudes, the turning here and there, all the way around. That it seems like our heart is conditioned to be that way. And we saw those vicissitudes, that fickleness on display on Palm Sunday, from the shouting of Hosanna to the shouting of crucify him. How easy do we go back and forth in our own life? How easily are we swayed by the crowd if we're going to shout out Hosanna or we're going to shout out crucify him? Because every time we choose sin, every time we turn our back, every time we're silent in the face of oppression, we're yelling, crucify him. How easy it is for us, and why we need this depiction brought to us this evening to remind us. On Friday when we gather, we're going to once again hear the story, the passion narrative. We have Mark's version today. On Friday, we will hear John's version. The same event from a different perspective. And when we are encouraged to read the Bible, this practice of Lectio Divina, this slow, repetitive reading of the scriptures, to allow the words to percolate, to penetrate within us, so that the words from the page become alive within our hearts. We have that opportunity this week. And so I encourage you this week to go back and revisit Mark's Passion, or maybe Luke's version, or St. Matthew's version. Allow these words to come alive within your heart and within your families. And which character resonates with you? Which character are you in the story today? Are you denying like Judas? Are you denying like Peter? Are you the unnamed woman who we still don't know her name, but we sing her praises, who spent lavishly her perfumed oil to bathe and anoint this man? Who are you in this story? Because Christ died for you. Christ died to give you life. And that's what this passion narrative is all about. The origins of our life. That God, Jesus, true God and true man, took on the weight of our sin, brought it to the cross, and then brought us all to heaven. That he who is perfectly man and perfectly God, uncorrupted, able to feel the fullness of the weight of our sin, which is why he could cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? But there's more to it than just that. Because we know, I think it's in Luke's version, where he is so aware of the immensity of what's happening before him, he sweats blood. He feels the weight of my sin, of our sin. He's fully aware. And so maybe in some way in the humanity, he felt the separation that sin causes between us and God the Father. But he was never not God. He never was abandoned by the Heavenly Father. You see, he was crucified at 3:00, the hour when the temple sacrifices were taking place. And in the temple sacrifices, they would sing Psalm 22. Although they didn't call it Psalm 22 because they didn't have numbers on the Psalms then. They were singing out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Much like when you come to confession, the priest says, pray 3 Our Fathers, 2 Hail Marys. By the first 2 words of the prayer, you know the entirety of the prayer. When Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Jews who had the Psalms memorized would have known the whole thing. And the first part of that Psalm talks about the betrayal, the mockery, the desertion, the feeling of aloneness and isolation. Who of us can't relate to that? But as Psalm 22 continues, and this is why Jesus was crying out, so that these men and women who had given everything away for their life to follow him would not despair, would not lose hope, to see the fulfillment of God's plan, because Jesus was in complete control of what was taking place. Go find the room, go untie the donkey, go set this up. And as he was in front of Pilate, in front of the high priest, he was in control. He wasn't a helpless victim. God was going to battle with Satan, and this was the game plan. And so he's saying, don't despair. It may look like all hope is lost. So maybe in your life today you're going through something that makes you feel like all hope is lost. Or you've experienced the pain of suffering and you thought all hope is lost. The cross gives us, returns to us the hope that the devil tries to steal. And that's the only thing the devil can take from you is your hope. Don't let him. Because how does Psalm 22 end? But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid. Deliver my soul from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the ox. I will tell your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. Glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you sons of Israel. For he has not despised the afflicted. He has not hidden his face, but he has heard when we cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. May your hearts live forever. As we enter into the death of Jesus Christ, it's the only way to eternal life. We want to live this week as though it really is the most important week of the world, of your life. The week that changed the world, where we can walk day by day with Jesus. as he goes to battle for Satan for each one of us. And so while we may feel abandoned and afflicted and confused and forgotten, Christ has carried us with him to the cross and through the grave and to the glory of the resurrection. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise him. May your hearts live forever. Amen.